Luis Medeiros has come to the Antidote for a talk about his new band, Lambs and Lions. It's good to have you back, Luis.
Hey, Dave. It's always good to talk to you, mate.
You and I have spoken a couple times about your other band, Living Fire. Now, don't tell me that Living Fire is finished.
No, not at all. As you know, most of my mates in Living Fire live in Brazil, and now I'm living here in California. So it's kind of a bit difficult to produce something with Living Fire in the moment, especially because I'm busy with my family. My son is growing up right now, but Living Fire is not end. And this project is like a solo project, something unique I've done with some friends. So Living Fire is still on for sure.
Well, good news. Now you got to tell me, was it a tough transition to make the move to California? I mean, it must have been a bit of a culture shock.
Not a bit. It was a huge culture shock, you know. Because when you live in Brazil, you think you speak English. Here, you have difficulty even to go to McDonald's. So that was my first deal. And I'm living here for 5 years, and English is still difficult for me to speak. So that's the first thing, the language, the first thing. Second is the food. Oh, man, I miss Brazilian pizza so much, you have no idea. Luckily, I live here in an area with a lot of Brazilians. Here in California, I believe that's the second biggest Brazilian community in the United States. So this transition was a little easy for that. But now we are kind of adapting. I can say that my son is more American than Brazilian at the moment. And I think things are setting up. That's why I decided to do this project right now, to spend a little more time with music, because I think things are setting down right now for me here. So I have a little more free time to think about music, to think about band.
Well, I want to do a bit of a comparison, because Living Fire is a punk and hardcore band, but Lambs and Lions is different. You know, it's still punk, but now it's oi punk. And that's not a common style in the Christian music scene. I mean, really, the only bands I can think of are guys like Flatfoot 56, Breakaway, and maybe the Lonely Revolts. So what is it about oi that appeals to you?
You know, I grew up listening to oi. Like, oi is part of my life since I was 10 years old. I grew up listening to the British bands, and I was kind of skinhead when I was young, in my teenager before my conversion. And I tried in the Living Fire, especially in the second album that you see a lot of like a little spice oi things introducing the music.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Living Fire has a lot of oi fun. There's a lot of skinheads around the world, a lot of people that like oi music. And that's what motivates me to do this album, you know. First of all, because my personal preference. And second, because there is a public that likes that and they miss that kind of segment of music in the Christian music. If you go through the Living Fire webpage, mm-hmm, and you review the comments, you see a lot of oi comments. People say oi from South Africa, oi from Croatia, oi from El Salvador. And that was the big motivation for me to do this album. Also, there's another point. It's about the structure. I talked to Dave Aaron, the manager of our label.
Mm-hmm.
I have this wish in my heart that make an album, and the title of the album should be Back to Basic. Because the way I see Living Fire was, the production was Living Fire, it started to become more and more complex. We started to think a lot to do the music. And I remember my first album with Living Fire was extremely basic. The way we record everything was more heart than brain. I don't know if you understand when I say that.
Yeah,
but
it
was more heart than brain. And that's what I tried to do with Lambs and Lion. Put more heart, less production, something more raw, more underground than a big production as we did to Living Fire.
Well, certainly songs like Crimson Words epitomizes that sound. I guess the difference from a regular oi band is that all your songs are centered on Christ. So that's the intention of Lambs and Lions, to bring a faith message?
Absolutely, absolutely. In our last interview, I remember a few years ago, I believe when you did for the Mercy Between Love and Hate, mm-hmm, I told you something, and then I reinforce it right now, and I've I write my lyrics about what I live in my daily base. I cannot write a lyrics about a spaceship or a car racing because that's not what I live in my daily base. My daily base with my family here is centered on Christianity. I live my life, I read my Bible, I go to church, I talk to people, I evangelize. That's what I live. And that's what I have inspiration to write. And I say again, to write Christian music is kind of easy because you have a manual. You open the Bible, you search for some text, and you have a manual to write. So the inspiration comes easily. And express my faith through the music and maybe make people think about that. Think about, oh, maybe God is real. Maybe let me looking for that. Let me see what he's saying. This music is really true. Let me see if I feel good living that way. That's the purpose of Living Fire, and that's the purpose of Lambs and Lions, to touch people that maybe don't go to the church in the convenient way, don't like the music, like the worship songs, all the environment. Maybe people need something more aggressive, something that stimulates adrenaline to worship, and that's the purpose. I try to bring this kind of music to this segment of people for a long time.
Well, I do get that, because back in the early days of Living Fire, the band even put out a song for the skinhead community. The band released Skinheads for Christ.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. In Brazil, you have a huge skinhead public that likes Oi music. And something that also make this wish to create something towards the Oi public, like more effectively than Living Fire that mix punk rock, Oi, and hardcore, like something specific with Oi, was when we were playing with Living Fire in Brazil, there was this mix of people going to our concerts. We have like a punk rockers, skinheads, headbangers, and like a regular guys that like pop music all together playing and singing with us and enjoying the concert. Mm-hmm. So we have this public, and I try to do something specific for them right now.
So the debut from Lambs and Lions is your album, Rebel Hymns of Grace. I'm really curious why you didn't just test the waters by doing a single or two instead of diving in with a full length.
We put more heart than brain, the mind, in this album. Let me tell you how this project start. Matej, he's a big Living Fire fan from Croatia, like a very old school underground skinhead over there. He doesn't even have like a social media. My first contact with him was because he runs a fanzine in his city, and he do everything by hand, and he have an old Xerox machine that he made copies, and he distributing the concerts in the pubs. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him by letter, by the way. We talk by letter, and he say, "Hey, man, we need to do something. Oh, I play some guitar. I have some vocals here." And I say, "You know what, man? You want to do something? I record some bass line here in my house, and I have some lyrics. I put some lyrics for him, make a bass line, and I record in a CD and sent to him by mail."
Wow.
I believe like 3 months later, he sent me back another CD with some drums and some very strong gang vocals. I said, "Man, what are you doing? Where did you get all these people?" He said, "Oh, that's my firm. That's my firm. Sing with us here. Did you like it? Did you like it?" I said, "Man, that's perfect." And then I said, "Oh, send me the themes of the music so I can mix and put everything together." Again, I say that's not perfect because I don't know how he recorded the guitars and the vocals. And Jadeen, he recorded and he sent me the drums, like a mix it all together. He didn't send the themes separated. So I put everything together and I sent to some people, and everyone say, "Oh, that's nice. That's very underground. That's very hard. That's bring the spirit of Oi." And then I say, "Okay, so it's done. It's done. Let's live in that way." And two of the songs I wrote for Living Fire, Killing Frost Vision is one of the songs that's supposed to be released in last Living Fire album. I wrote the song long time ago. And Crimson Words was a very old song that I have that I wrote from for That You Sing. But I never had the opportunity to use those lyrics. And I say, no, that's perfect for this album. And then there you go.
I'm really floored by the fact that here you are, you're in California, Matej, he's in Croatia, and Jaden is in Britain. I mean, I always know there's so many bands nowadays where they have members around the world. But you guys seem to be the extreme. And doing this by mail, I mean, we're not talking about just putting stuff over the internet. You guys are actually doing it by snail mail.
That's what's crazy, because I thought with the pandemic teaches how to work together, even being apart. That was the big lesson of the pandemic. There are a lot of bands doing that. You see all those videos, people dividing the screens and making Zoom chats, Skype chats. And we go to the opposite way, you know, you go to the basic way. I believe that the biggest merit I can say is Matej, because he was really passionate about that. I was more like easy going, say, hey, man, I have my family here. I can do some stuff. And I send to you and do whatever you want. That was my spirit in the moment, you know, not too much concern. And we give time to time. You know, sometimes I think about it in the Jesus time, you know, all these people traveling from one city to another, the information getting by horse in from one city to another. So that was the spirit, you know, go against the technology.
I want to pull in the title track from the album, Rebel Hymns of Grace. And that song is a tribute to Martin Luther.
Yeah.
You were digging kind of deep with the lyrics when you say, in the streets of Wittenberg, the hammer struck a chord. The parchment declared, to God alone be the glory, O Lord. Sola scriptura, the scripture alone, our map, our compass, the truth it has shown. What is this? Like, you actually enjoy getting into church history?
Oh, yes, yes. Long, long time ago, I studied theology in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I specialize in apologetics, and I really like history, not just like the history of the Bible or Christianity history, but I like history in general. And I dig some old texts that I wrote in Portuguese. I was thinking those texts about the Reform, how the Protestants get separated from the Catholic Church. And I start to study about that again, and I always want to write a song about that. I remember a band, a Christian band. I can't reminisce their name, but they are a Calvinist band. And they wrote a CD with 5 or 7 tracks. And each track was a point of the Calvinism. And I thought that idea was brilliant. And I'm not a Calvinist, but I saw their point. And I said, oh, no, I need to do something with the Reform. And then I went deep on my old text that I wrote from my theology blog, and I decided to write the song. And Rebel Rhymes of Grace, this line came from another word that say, we are the rebels saved by grace. I believe it's from Christian words. And then the thing just started to come to my mind. I started to remember everything I wrote about Martin Luther. And that was it.
Just out it came.
Yeah, yeah. As I told you, I write about what I live. I believe that's the point that gave me almost three years between the last Living Fire album and this album. Because I was completely focused on my family. Helping my son, helping my wife, try to build a life, a new life here in California. And I was concentrating in work and studying and live my life here. And I didn't have the inspiration to write anything different from what I was living in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then when things start settling down, I start to read my Bible in a different way again. I start to go to the church and pay attention in the sermons in a different way again, and that inspiration come back.
I think you and I need to back up a little bit and talk about the beginning of Oi Punk.
Sure.
You know, from what I've read, it first came from Britain in the late 70s, and it was a big part of the far right and the skinhead subculture. Now, I heard from your record label, Thumper Punk Records, that your song Saved by Grace is going to be sent to skinhead sites. What do you think their reaction is going to be? Because, I mean, this is an overtly Christian song.
Yeah, look, we cannot please everyone. That's something that I learned. When I start to evangelism, my evangelism with skinheads in Brazil, I hear a lot of good feedbacks, and I hear a lot of bad feedbacks. I put myself in some dangerous situations with some gangs, some firms, and really, we need to spread the word. Like Jesus say, go and spread the word. If they don't like, just remove the dust from your clothes and go to another city. So I think that's the way it should be, you know. We should go with love, spread the message. If we have good feedbacks, we go after these people. If we have a lot of bad feedbacks, we thank God and we pray for those lives and we continue going. If we save or not save, that's too much, that's too hard. But if we reach one person that doesn't know about Christianity, doesn't know about Jesus, I'll be extremely grateful to the Holy Spirit. You know, if we spread the word to 1,000 people and we reach just one, I'll be more than pleased, man. I'll be more than glad, more than happy, because that's the purpose. So we spread the word. And people want to receive or not, that's not my business. That's between them and the Holy Spirit.
But who are you spreading the message to? Is it Christians or is it to non-Christians?
Yeah, I think it's for Christians. We cannot go extreme, you know. We cannot say, oh, we are a Christian band. We make Christian music for Christian people. That's not the focus. And we cannot say, oh, no, we go all the way to the non-Christian, we don't make music for Christians. We go all the way in the opposite to someone who needs to listen to the message. Mm-hmm. I think we can make entertaining music for the Christians, and for the non-Christians, that's evangelism and music. So we can reach both. And we have a lot of people like me that came from with this background that doesn't have this kind of music to listen to. So if we can bring some culture, adapt, and make it flourish through Christianity so we can enjoy more, I think that's a valid point too. So I think our music, this project specifically, can reach both of them. Entertainment for the Christians and evangelism for the non-reached people.
That's interesting that you brought that up, because Rebel Hymns of Grace includes a song, Killing Frost Vision. And that song is actually kind of critical of the organized church.
Yeah.
The lyrics say, all I wanted was some faith that's real, but they turned it into a rigid ordeal. Misinforming, the vision is lost. This religious world is a killing frost. So you're really not holding back with those words.
Yeah, as I told you, I wrote the song for the last Living Fire album. Mm-hmm. Was a lot of, what's the word in English? Inconformity, maybe. I was not conformed, like not really happy with some aspect of religion.
Okay.
When I wrote that album. And that's a valid criticism, too. Because nowadays, we have so much misinformation about Christianity. So many people try to take advantage, especially after the pandemic or during the pandemic, and the time after the pandemic, people try to take advantage for the condition, the emotional condition that people was going through. And they use the church as a weapon to the evil. I don't like prosperity. I don't like when people talk about prosperity in the church. I think that's not the focus. I don't like when people try to be, how can I say, to accept some things that is not part of the moral concept of the Christianity.
Right.
They start to accept everything as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to understand, we need to accept everyone, every single person, not every single idea. And what I see in a lot of churches nowadays is that that's misunderstanding, that's misconduct. You know, they start to put a shade. Oh, we can accept this person, but they're not accepting the person, that they're accepting the ideology. and put inside of the church. And I saw a lot of that. And I need to say, when my family got here, we have a hard time to find a church, to find a good church, because we go to that church and they are very cold and the very rigid and like a, well, like a PowerPoint slides, you know, like a lecture from my time in college. There was no fire inside. There was no emotion. There's no...
No passion.
No passion. That's the word I was looking for. There was no passion. And then we went to another church, and they started to preach, oh, if you give your money, if you do that, God will bless you. That's a completely misunderstanding. And we went to another church, and they start to... They absorb ideologies that are not related to Christianity. And finally, we find a good church that my family is going to now that we can agree with everything they're preaching. Even my son got baptized a few weeks ago. He's 9 years old, and he decides, no, I want to be baptized in that church. I'm feeling that's the time right now.
That's cool.
And that song's come to this kind of institution. I'm not saying we don't need church, please. That's not the point. We need church. We need the community. We need instructions from people that know more than we do, the people that read more than we read, the people that knows more than we know. We need church, but we need good church. There's something that's used to say in Brazil, say, oh, every church has a problem. Yeah, every church has a problem, but when the problem overcome the Bible, that's not a good church to go. We find a good church now, and that's what Killing Frost Vision was against, was trying to bring upon. Hey, be careful to the place you are going. The Bible say, listen, think about it, and if it's good, accept, and if it's not good, reject.
Well, here's something, just curiosity on my part. Do you go to a church that's English-speaking, or is it Portuguese?
That's a good thing. When I got here, a major part of my life here, we spend in the Salvation Arm Church mm-hmm. in Redondo Beach. That's a Brazilian community. That's a Brazilian church. There's a lot of non-Brazilians over there, like Americans and some English people, some British people there. But the services, most of the services were in Portuguese. So we spent like 2 years in a Brazilian community church. And now we are going to a church that is basically an American church. We're going to the Saddleback Church for the Pastor Rick Warren here in Torrance.
Well, I think there is going to be one problem with your band, because with you guys living so far apart, I'm guessing that there's never going to be a chance to see Lambs and Lions live. But if you could ever play a date, what would the show be like?
Really, I would like to go to like East Europe to play, you know, those skinhead ghettos that they have over there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would be a good way to play and make it as raw and basic and underground as possible. I think that would be a good way to have a concert. And we always treat Lambs and Lions as a project, not as a band, because as a band, we need more commitment. We need to be more committed to the band. And as a project, it's more fun, you know. Maybe it will happen one day. We don't know.
I guess if you went over there to play a show, then you've got to be doing Salvation Song, because that seems to be the focus of what you're going for.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I wrote that song when I was listening to the... Redemption Song from Bob Marley. You know, I tried to make a parallel to that song, to Salvation Song, to bring that idea from the slavery and the way you free your mind from your problems and you get yourself ready for something else. That's what this song is about, you know. There is a Holy Spirit that accepts you, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what kind of life you're living, that accept you exactly the way you are. And the transformation come after that.
So that one really rings true with me. But I think the song that really seems to show what you guys are aiming for is Strong Until the End. You know, it says, we march on with the cross as our banner, our anthem loud, in a punk rock manner for the truth, for the life, for the way we live out our faith, come what may. That really does sum up Lambs and Lions, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. That brings the concept of community, you know, for all of them. If you make a parallel, think about like skinheads and Christianity. Make a parallel. Skinheads, they have the firm, they have this concept of family among the firm, among the gang, among them. And we can transpose that idea to the Christianity. Beneath the banner of the cross, you can, if beneath the blood of Christ, and have this strong bond as a community and helping each other to get your faith strength. You know, you can do something great, something, you can evolve as a person, as a Christian, together, one person helping another person. I wrote this song based on a very used phrase that you see in a lot of song of Oi's. And I believe I put this phrase in one of the Living Fire song, that we united, we stand, divided, we fall.
Right.
Dropkick Murphys used this phrase, and you see this phrase in a lot of Oi bands, like Sands and Sinners, Lion's Law. They use this phrase a lot. And that's something that touched me a lot, because that's very Christian, you know. If you got united, you can stand against the evil. And if you go divided, if you think differently, if you start to think the way you interact with the Holy Spirit is the right way and my way is the wrong way, definitely we fall. So we needed unity. That's what the song tried to bring.
So what's next for Lambs and Lions? Are you going to be bringing out more music in the future, or is this just a one-shot deal?
I'm going to bring an information, like first-hand information for you, Dave. I'm involved with two other projects. Lambs and Lions was the big sparkling that make this explosion in my music life right now. I'm involved with another project that's a ska mixed with punk rock. The name of this project is SoCal. And I'm involved with a hardcore project named Fate as well. So my main goal now is to release these other two projects after Lambs and Lions. I believe SoCal will be releasing our first album 1 month, maybe. I believe 1 month after the debut of Lambs and Lions. And Fate will be in some point of fall time. I don't know exactly when, but those are projects I'm involved to. I'm not like the main organizer of those projects. It's more like a participation, but that's something that I wrote lyrics, I make some bass lines, I make some production too. And after that, after we finish the cycle, maybe we put something else together. Maybe with a more technology. Involve Lambs and Lions, give a little more technology. Try to make Mattel do something through internet right now, but he's very skeptical about technology.
That's wild that you're involved with so much stuff. You have no free time.
Dude, I need to occupy my mind with something that is good. Let me try to paraphrase this proverb we have in Brazil. They say, an empty head is the house of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm trying to do. Music is like an escape for me, you know, an unstressed medicine for me. When I'm doing music, I forgot my problems. I forgot the things I need to deal with on a daily basis. It's like my unstressed medicine. And let me give you something about the other projects I'm involved with. I always want to make a project with rockabilly. And I told you last time we talked about rockabilly project. And I love ska. I love ska. I love hardcore. Ska is a big part of the skinhead culture too. So I have the chance to get in contact with people in the Salvation Army church. They play the brass, they play metal. And I say, hey, man, that's really nice. It's really nice for ska. And so, okay, let's do something together. And I start to put some lyrics, make some bass lines, because ska bass lines is really great. It's really fun to play. Mm-hmm. And then I put some together. I'm not very skillful with the guitar, but ska is very basic too. I start to put some some chords in the guitar, and I give to the pastor Giuliano that plays trumpet. I say, oh, I can do something with the metals. Pa pa pa. I play something the piano for him, and he transposed to the metals, and boom. Suddenly we have a few music. Then we basically mix everything together, and we have a CD. We have the name of the CD is Skank to Salvation.
I've got to hear that sometime.
Oh, yeah. But you're gonna hear it in a very short time. At first hand. I promise you it will be the first hand. And this hardcore process of faith, I need to tell you, I was trying to produce something for Living Fire myself. Because all the productions of Living Fire were made by our drums player, Michel Oliveira. He's a great producer. And I could not reach the same level of production that he did. So I said, no, that cannot be a Living Fire project. Living Fire needs to be something different. But it still is very good. It's more punk rock than hardcore, but it still is very good. And then I said, okay, let's release as a different project too. So I'm involved with these three projects. Maybe after that, maybe for Christmas, we release something with Lambs and Lions too.
Well, you're going to have a tough time topping this. Because seriously, Rebel Hymns of Grace, that's the best thing I've heard this year.
I'm happy to listen to that music. Very, very happy.
I got to thank you for coming for this talk, Luis. This has been great.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dave. It's always a pleasure for me. I have a lot of fun time to talk to you. It's always great. Thank you.